Dorothy McCardle was an Irish playwright, historian, author and journalist. Born in 1889 to an English mother and an Irish father, she was a member of Cumann na mBan and was imprisoned for her activities during the Irish Civil War. Best known for her history book, The Irish Republic, but she was also the author of several novels. And Tramp Press, the Irish publisher, has been republishing these over the past few years as part of their Recovered Voices series. Dark Enchantment, McCardle's third novel, has just been reissued by Tramp. And with me in studio is Tramp Press publisher Lisa Cohen and historian Caroline Heafy, who has written the introduction to the novel. And Caroline joins us from studio in New York. I think I might be right about wrong about the third novel. It's the fact the third in a kind of trilogy of Gothic novels is what this we're talking about in this. But Caroline, first of all, reading about Dorothy McCardle, it's an incredibly interesting life, but it does start with that great mix that she grew up in, you know, in Dundalk, the member of the McCardle family, a famous brewing family, but the home rule loving father and the imperialist mother. What a mix that she had to kind of work out for herself.
Absolutely. Dorothy McCardle, you know, she was really a product of that mixed background. I think we don't really see her becoming radicalized until she really comes home from Britain. Actually, she was absent from Ireland during 1916. She was teaching in Stratford-upon-Avon, and she comes home from England and starts to see this real political moment emerging here. And that's when the radicalization really starts to take place, and it becomes a point of tension for her and her family, really, both her mother and her father. Her father really didn't like, you know, his daughter being in prison for political activism either.
He was a home ruler, so he would have been more in favour of a peaceful route towards nationalism, I guess.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, and also just the kind of the affluence of her family's background, I think, would have positioned her in a different way than some of other the political prisoners at that time.
But precisely that affluence was what gave her the chances to maybe develop in the way that she did. She went to Alexandra College, then went to UCD. That type of education, and I think one of the first raft of women to be educated in UCD, how unusual was it for a woman to make her way through an education system to that level at that time?
Absolutely. You know, Leanne Lane talks about this a lot in her recent biography on Dorothy McCardle as well. But she was really quite rare in this moment at the turn of the 20th century. And it is that those credentials that she actually was able to achieve through her family's positioning that allows her to kind of negotiate between public and private life in ways that other women really weren't able to do during this time, and really into well into the 20th century, you know, looking toward the 50s and the 1937 Constitution, which, as we know, you know, legislated women into the home. So the fact that A, she never married, and B, that she did have these really quite refined credentials really allowed her to maneuver those spaces quite successfully.
The novel then that we're talking about here, Lisa, Dark Enchantment, it's the third of a set of Gothic novels, essentially. You've previously published The Uninvited and The Unforeseen, which were both written in, I think, 1941-45 respectively. Dark Enchantment is 1953. What's the basic premise here? It's a father and daughter, first of all, setting off for France from Ireland.
It sure is. So the first two novels that we published as part of this series are set in Ireland. There's Irish elements, you know, the second one certainly is. This one takes us to France. Now, it's not a trilogy as such, but Caroline has spoken very wittily about this as a sort of a spiritual trilogy. There are certainly themes between them. So this novel is about a young woman, Juliet Cunningham, and she is in France. She's been in school. She's only 20. She's a bit innocent. Sort of useless. Again, has, I think, refined credentials, as Caroline has described them. But in Juliet's case, she's a very sort of fragile character, and she doesn't know really what she wants to do with herself. Her father is a bit of a... So he's an actor, he's well known, he's Irish, sort of a rudderless gadabout, really likable, bit of a drinking problem, and he's taken her to the south of France, and they end up in a beautiful little village, Saint-Jacques, on the Riviera, and she finds a lovely inn, and starts to work there. Yeah. And it's extremely cozy. There's lots of nice food. There's walks. There's a handsome tree surgeon nearby.
All very good so far.
Awesome.
But one of the many interesting aspects about the novel here is the character, Caroline, if I can come to you on this, of the character of Turka, who is this gypsy woman. What does she bring into the novel, into the plot line of the novel, first of all, and what kind of woman does she bring into literature that perhaps McArdle was trying to put out there for us?
Absolutely. Turka, I think, in a lot of ways, is the more fascinating character and the more fascinating woman in the novel, even more than Juliet. So Turka has been outcasted by this community. She is marked, she's missing an eye, and she was a member of the Resistance during, you know, occupied France. And she, for her sort of, she's seen as a kind of devious character in her willingness to speak out against social norms and against the church, and the fact that she is Romani, she's just completely outcast. But one of the things that she also is she's economically self-sustained. She sells brooms in the marketplace, and she does not really subscribe to any kind of economic engagement with the community as well. And so she's really the only woman in the novel who is self-sustaining and who kind of refuses to live according to the norms that are imposed on her.
It could be argued that she pays a big price for that. But I suppose one of the really interesting aspects that you've touched on there is the fact that the Turka character was part of the resistance during the Second World War. And this kind of idea of the dangerous woman who might be involved in that type of political activity. Do you think it's a very small jump from that to the type of activity that Dorothy McArdle and many other Irish women were involved in during the War of Independence and indeed during the Civil War as well?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, when you think about McArdle's lifetime, you know, she's born in 1889. At that time, Queen Victoria is still the reigning monarch, and when she dies, Ireland is divided, and a lot of the dreams that she had about, you know, that Irish Republic that addresses Irish men and Irish women, you know, legislatively are not being reflected in the way that she had envisioned when she was quite young. So yeah, I think McArdle is very interested in these notions of dreams unrealized or dreams disappointed. And women's ability to navigate that either through political activism and activism that doesn't ultimately get recognised.
And yet she's probably best known, Dorothy McArdle, for aside from what Tramp Press has done with the novels in recent times, for her 1937 publication, The Irish Republic, which was, you know, commissioned by De Valera and was pretty much, it was very anti-treaty and very much gave us the pro-dev side of things. How do you reconcile that pro-dev side of Dorothy McArdle with the woman who would have railed against the article in the Constitution of 1937, referring, you know, to the woman's place being in the home for the better good?
Yeah, it's a really complicated thing, you know, and we're seeing this too. You know, what happens when you encounter friends and family who have political views that, you know, seem so starkly different from your own? McArdle was godson or godmother to one of Dev's sons. You know, they had a very personal and familial relationship there. And I think that doesn't just go away because you intellectually and emotionally disagree with legislation that's being passed. But yeah, I mean, it's awkward.
Yeah, she also was opposed to neutrality during the Second World War, which of course would have been anti-Dev as well, or against Dev's standpoint.
Definitely. And she spent a lot of time and energy. You know, she writes Children of Europe, which is published only 4 years after the end of World War II. And it looks at chronicling experiences of trauma for children during wartime violence. You know, it's something that I think she could relate to as well.
Yeah, because she had a tough time in prison.
Yes, she did. She would have endured a lot of beatings and just, you know, these prisons were dramatically overcrowded. They're damp. Women were on hunger strike, suffering heart attacks and collapses from the experience of just striking. And then the trauma, too, of being in a cell and hearing gunshots outside and wondering whether that's an execution or just target practice. So, yeah, no, she's very interested in trauma and she's very interested in experiences of trauma during political unrest.
Coming back to you, Lisa, Dark Enchantment, the Dorothy McArdle novel, which is the latest in your Recovered Voices series, it's billed as Ireland's answer, or she's billed as Ireland's answer to Daphne du Maurier. Where do you see the parallels there?
I think this way she writes into a genre that can be dismissed, I think, the supernatural, dealing with the fantastic.
Because there are aspects of the supernatural in the Turca character and some of the things that she's involved in.
For sure, she might be a witch. There is the haunted house and the uninvited. There is premonitions in The Unforeseen. And these were published by Doubleday and eventually Corgi Books, and they're really entertaining. They're fun books. There's a lot of just characters being built.
So the book stands on its own merit, apart from the things that Caroline has been telling us about.
Oh, for sure.
About
really
McCardell and the parallels there.
Yeah. But I think what's great about her is that she sort of Trojan horses in very subversive feminism, in that, you know, the ghost turns out not necessarily to be one type of woman, but of another, that she will sort of interrogate the problem with women being limited in how they can move economically. That can be a cause for tension. But I mean, really, on face of it, it's just a fun, spooky story. Weird things happen.
Just as we finish up then, Dorothy McCardle, obviously one of the voices that you've been recovering. Is there anybody else? Because a lot of people have suddenly become interested in McCardle because of your publication of the previous two novels. Who are you uncovering or recovering for us at the moment?
Well, last year we published A Brilliant Void by Jack Fennell, which was a collection of Irish science fiction stories going way back. That one was very popular and so successful. We've asked Jack to take a look at the fantasy genre in Ireland, and that is something he's working on
now.
So
there'll be some voices recovered from there.
Yeah,
in the meantime, Dark Enchantment is the latest in that series from Tramp Press by Dorothy McCardle, published by Tramp Press, obviously, and the introduction written by Caroline B. Heafy, who was speaking to us from New York this evening, and Lisa Cohen of Tramp Press with us here in studio.